The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So you can keep your text coming into 51551 or you can email ray@rte.ie. Les Martin is a dad of three. Two of his children have a rare disease called MLD. I am going to get you to pronounce the big long word, but I'll just go with MLD for the time being.
Okay.
He and his wife Linda are campaigning for the heel prick test to be expanded to test for more rare conditions in an effort to diagnose rare diseases earlier and improve the treatment options available. Thanks a million for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Catherine.
I heard you on with Ryan a couple of months ago and I felt like I'd say everybody listening that that was a difficult interview to do, no more than probably this one will be. But if I can ask you, maybe let's set out the stall again for those that don't know the family background and the family story, because you have big news today that you're going to share with us shortly. But give us a recap. You have three kids. There's Holly, Cathal and Kieran.
Yeah. Holly is, she'll be seven next week, and Cathal is five, and Kieran is three. The two boys have MLD, as you said. That's metachromatic leukodystrophy,
right?
Which is a rare condition. One in 40,000 births. So Cathal grew up fine until he was like 2 years of age. He was coming along totally, you know, was
rocking along, no problem.
He just was kind of slow to get walking on his own. So it was for that reason that we, you know, began to suspect something was up when we went.
And there's so many kids who don't walk until later. It's not a big, you weren't probably concerned or worried or.
Well, look, no parent is. They hope the best for their own kids and they don't have these things in their mind until all of a sudden they land on their lap, which it did in a heap for Linda and myself at that time. So we were a long time up and down to the hospital, investigating what was going on with Cathal.
And at that stage, your concerns were just he wasn't walking, or?
Yeah, at that point, he was talking really well. He was, everything else was fine, all his little milestones and things that you'll know all about yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was slow to walk. So over the course of a good few months, we were up and down to the hospital and he slowly got a little worse. Long story short, eventually we received a diagnosis of this metachromatic leukodystrophy, MLD, for Cathal. And because it's a genetic condition, they also checked Kieran, his younger brother, and we discovered that they both had the condition. And that's for Cathal. Unfortunately, it was too far progressed for any hope of any treatment. But for Kieran, because he was that bit younger, he was just about one at that time, there was a trial treatment available in Italy, which we received our diagnosis for both the boys in 1 week. And then a couple of days later, we were on the plane, gone to Italy, stayed there for 7 or 8 months to avail of the treatment for Kieran.
And can I ask you what that was like for as parents to be hit with the most horrific, heartbreaking news, and that was on a Friday for two of your children, and then you were on a flight to Italy on the Monday.
Yeah.
With just trying to get treatment for just one of the boys or for two of them?
For one of them. We knew a little bit earlier that, you know, we were 90% sure that Cathal had this condition and that we were waiting for some tests to come back, hoping that Kieran also didn't have it. But when that news landed on us, look, I don't know if I could describe in words what that felt like at that time. Total disaster, I suppose.
And you obviously have to go into fight mode as well.
Yeah. This is it. So I suppose we received the news both boys had the illness. Cathal, unfortunately, as I said, there was no hope of any treatment now. As I said, he's five now and he's pretty close to his end. He's completely paralysed now and he's peg fed and it's suction and oxygen. And now he's still, he's a great little boy and he's still has the laughs most days. You know, you'll get a little smile out of him, and he's well aware of us there, and he's still giving plenty to us. So we love him for that. But Kieran, as you said, fight or flight. They told us that he was sick, but there's a chance if you go immediately to Italy, they'll assess him for partaking in this trial, and if he's accepted that, you know, there's hope there. So that's all we had at that point. Mm-hmm. And we left with that, and thank God now we're 2.5 years on from that now. Mm-hmm. And Kieran has reacted very well to that treatment. And he's now gone well beyond the point that Cahill had reached. Do you know, he's walking independently now. He's a little bit, he's taken some damage from the disease, so he has nerve damage, some brain damage, but you know, he's managing really well. He's going to school and he's just about walking on his own with splints on his legs. He's a little kind of clumsy, but that's about it. And recently, I suppose, in his last two checkups, they're telling us that the progression of disease has stabilised and that we've good reason to hope that he'll remain the way he is and have full life. So what I choose to believe at the moment is that we saved Kieran's life through all that ordeal.
How as a parent do you process all of that? And I'm just thinking of me, you know, as a new parent trying to manage my thoughts, because you're there with a child that you're trying to save with another child in Italy with you, where the same chance didn't happen for him because of not receiving an earlier diagnosis.
Well, everything is kind of bittersweet, I suppose, for us now. As I say, look, Kieran is, we've good hope for Kieran, and that's what we're choosing to believe. And but all the while, you know, Cahill is losing his battle, and the only sense we can make of it, and it's a stretch, but, you know, if it wasn't for Cahill and his illness, it would be Kieran who we'd lose. So Cahill, in a way, like, gave his own life up to save his brothers. And as it transpires, then the story of Cahill's life went on. And that's what I'm here to speak about today, I suppose, is the newborn screening campaign that has came from our contact with Italy and our continued contact with Italy. We're over and back there a lot for checkups and for other treatment with Kieran, and it's them that has given us all the information to go ahead with the campaign that we have of late, and achieve some of the success that we have.
And it is thanks to your campaigning that you're here to give us an update that Ireland is on the way to doing the same as in Italy. So just tell us what they do in Italy compared to what we do here in terms of the heel prick test.
Yeah, so the heel prick test, it's every newborn baby gets a little blood spot heel prick test done a couple of days after they're born here in Ireland, and they screen that for 8 conditions that are currently on the approved list. In Italy, 2 years ago, they only had 4 conditions. Now, both of those numbers are very low compared to other countries. In the US, it's 35. In other countries around Europe, it's mostly in the 20s. The average in Europe is 22. But here in Ireland, we're a good bit behind.
Why is that?
I think the situation's complex. And, you know, Italy's the change that they made is kind of, they bucked the trend. Internationally, that what they did is they introduced a law which gives every Italian baby born, every citizen, the right to be screened for every condition for which there is a treatment.
And you said they went from 2 years ago, they've done that turnaround in literally 2 years.
They did it in 1 year, so the campaign started 2 years ago.
Okay.
And in 1 year they went from 4 conditions screened to 40.
Okay.
Across 20 centres serving 65 million people at a cost of about €50 per child. And in their first year, the data was released in February that they had saved 350 children who would not have been identified had it not have been for their new screening programme. So as I said, through our contacts in Italy and, you know, our own boy's condition is actually not on this list of conditions, but we were aware of some of the work they were doing about newborn screening. We asked the question and they came forward with all this information and written support offers from the Minister of Health in Italy and the Department of Health and our contacts there to help Ireland do the same thing.
And were you one of the first people, had people tried before to get this over the line? Because I know after you were on with Ryan, you presented in Leinster House yourself.
So there's like every condition up to now has been treated individually, and there's parents like me who've lost kids who are, you know, petitioning for their conditions to be included to save the next children. But if you look at it from the perspective of introducing a law, it kind of supersedes all of those efforts, and it includes all of those efforts together as one, and it guarantees that any new screening for any condition that's viable according to certain criteria, which is up to the HSE still to decide, will be included into the future. So it kind of takes all those campaigns together as one and could really potentially solve the problem of newborn screening indefinitely into the future and save, you know, hundreds or thousands of lives.
And I know Senator David Norris, he's been behind you from the get-go. Simon Harris has been to the House, and there seems to be cross-party support on this unanimously.
Right. Well, I had such a body of information from the Italians. So I wrote to all of our senators and TDs, and I must say that I received good response. You know, there are 200 plus of them, but I got responses initially from 60 or 70 of them, accepting what I had said and promising to support it in some way. But in particular, David Norris took an interest in it, and he, just before they went on their break there for the summer, there was a debate, a private motion brought forward by him in the Senate to discuss this and to introduce this law as they have in Italy. And in that debate, every party was represented. There was contributions from 8 or 10 different senators and the minister himself and Minister Finian McGrath. And there was unanimous support for it. It was passed without a vote. David Norris has promised that the bill, which will bring the law into place, is being drafted at the moment, and he's going to bring it to the Senate early in their next sitting in the autumn. Mm-hmm. So given all the support, it was also included in a motion in the Dáil, which received, again, unanimous support. It was a motion for maternity services, but there was an item in there included by John Brady and Louise O'Reilly, which says, just as the Italian law states, that every child should have the right to be screened for anything that we can treat. There's no point in having these treatments available if we don't look for the patients, you know, and the earlier the better. As I said, Kieran, he was treated at a year, and he's taken damage and will live with that. But if he had been identified at birth, which hypothetically all these other children with these other conditions could be, the outcome is much better for the families and for the kids. So that's what we want to see.
What I find so amazing listening to you is, you said MLD is not even going to be included on this list yet. And when you were going through what you were going through, and you're still going through what you're going through, and it's, as you said, it's too late in one way for Cathal, but yet you went on and you still fought the fight for other parents, and not actually other parents, for other children that are not yet born, while in the midst of dealing with this family trauma, family turmoil yourselves. Was that very hard?
I would say it's because of that, Catherine.
Yeah.
Because of that experience of the last 2.5 years. Now, if you had got me a year ago, I wouldn't be able to speak to you about this.
Yes.
We're happy in a way that Kieran has stabilised, and as I said, we have hope. And this is about Cathal for me, and making his life and what he's gone through worth all that suffering. Mm-hmm. And because I know, Linda knows, and other parents out there know what it's like to live with a child like that. is the very reason why I couldn't and we can't ignore it. It's the type of thing you can't unhear once you know it, and once it was put on a plate, very much so for me. And I went away to the minister and to the politicians, like I said, with this, you know, a long letter and supporting documents. And really, they, I believe, saw the beauty in it and the simplicity in it. Simon Harris is making great strides and promised to do it as quick as he could. He's appointing a national screening board. The chair has been appointed and the rest of the board will be put together very shortly. And number one on their agenda now will be newborn screening because of this. And they're preparing the case from Italy to present to that screening board once it's assembled, so that they can look at it very quickly. And he has also met the Italian minister and he's sending a delegation to their labs, and they're eagerly awaiting their arrival to share, you know, what they see as one of the best improvements made to their health system in recent years with us.
What a fabulous result, born out of such tragic circumstances for your family. But I do think it's very admirable of you, because I can see how difficult it is for you being in here and talking about it. It's so admirable, because there's a huge strength in your vulnerability as well, if I can say that.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't come on to kind of glorify what we have done, or I don't enjoy telling the story of
our guys, but
there's good reason to it. Look, I hope that this finds the ears of some of our politicians. I know that they will have seen some of my letters. I've been plaguing them with information over the last while, but as I said, it's progressed nicely in recent weeks. I hope that they will anticipate and expect that this bill should come to the Dáil and the Senate very shortly.
We asked the Department of Health for a statement on this before you came on, and they said a national screening committee will be established and become operational before the end of 2019. The minister has recently appointed Professor Niall O'Higgins as chair of the new national screening committee, and expressions of interest for the remaining membership was advertised last week. It's happening.
Yeah. And well, my point to the minister and to the other politicians always was, one child every week is born in this country with one of these 40 conditions. Mm-hmm. So that's one version of me and Linda, and one version of Cahill, born every week with a condition they can treat. Mm-hmm. Now to wait is you know, it's cruel to do that when it's there on the table for us. Minister Harris, obviously these things take time, and it can be to the frustration of the rest of us, but I'm happy now that they are doing as much as they can, as quick as they can, and they're looking at it very seriously, and I hope that it all comes to pass very soon.
And you and Linda are full-time carers. You both gave up your jobs to look after the boys.
Yeah.
How is Holly?
Holly's great. She's an angel. Yeah. If it wasn't for Holly, we'd be lost long ago. Mm-hmm. But she's been with us every step of the way.
Difficult journey for her as well, I'd imagine.
Look, we moved to Italy and with the understanding that we'd only have 6 to 12 months with Cahill left. So we brought her with us. We stayed there. It was a very difficult time. Gladly now we're back home for the last year and a half, 2 years. And Holly's... I don't know where she gets her strength, and you know, this kind of simple way a child has of looking at life, and they accept what's in front of them all the time. We never hide anything from her. She's there to help her brothers all the time. She's great.
There is a mass wave of support coming in for you here. Catherine, my heart goes out to that father there. It's heartbreaking. I'm reduced to tears here, and will pray and hope they continue to have strength to cope with such a big burden. Please God, Kieran will be okay. What a heartbreaking story with a small silver lining. You can hear the heartbreak in Ian's voice. Pass on our deepest sympathy and wish the family all the best for the future. That's what we do wish you, all the best for the future.
I'd like to say another very important point, Catherine, to those people who are listening. Now, on top of all of that, which has been great, as I said, the progress, and I hope to see it come to pass. But it's also shone a light on the condition, the situation for people living with rare diseases here in Ireland, and the lack of support and services for those people.
Mm-hmm.
I went looking for support from a rare disease organisations to help with the campaign, but I found that, in fact, it was them that needed help. Because I've had the ear of the minister and the other politicians, we've made good progress on that front as well, and there's promises of strengthened services and support for people living with rare diseases here in Ireland. And I'd like to put this out to your listeners, and that there's a change coming. There'll be information campaigns, there'll be the organisations are going to be supported and will expand. And I'd like to ask people who are living at home like us, mm-hmm. with a rare disease or their kids with a rare disease, to contact, there's two organisations at the moment, Rare Disease Ireland,
mm-hmm.
and also there's a parents group on Facebook, Rare Ireland, that support each other. Like, the only beneficial advice Linda and I would have really received in all this time would have came from parents who
were going
themselves.
Through the same thing,
And I think there's a great scope to provide help to as many people living in our situation as we can, and promises from the minister to support that. So we hope to see some changes in the coming 6 to 12 months that will really improve that situation. And anybody who's at home in need of help or can help people with rare diseases, to contact those two organisations. You might put the contact information
on
our website.
We will, for sure. We'll put that up. We'll put all of that on our website. And you know what? It takes people like you to make change happen. So, Les, we wish you all the best to yourself and Linda and to Kieran and Cahill. And thanks a million for talking to me today.
Okay.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.